wonderful message, I believe, from my heart. And I'm just trusting that there'll be a revelation this evening. You know, very often there's a lot of words that we know about. It's quite possible to know stuff in the head. Right? That's the big danger of the Christian walk. Because you and I know it here, that does not mean that we have it here in our heart. And the truth is that until the Word of God in any particular area has become part of our spirit man, it doesn't mean a thing. Doesn't mean a thing. If you think about it, most people in the world know about the fact that Jesus saves. They may not know what that saves means, but they know it. Does that mean they're all saved? Definitely not. I mean, you know, for years I knew about Jesus. I sat in church, my God. I was in the Methodist school and we had church. We had plenty of church, a plethora of church. My backside actually wore into a little shape to accommodate the hard pews. I don't know. Why do the Methodists have such hard pews? Is it to keep the folk awake? Well, anyway, I had church. But you know what? Despite all of the church, I didn't have a cooking clue what salvation was. Amen? Didn't have a cooking clue. It took me to go into a situation and have a good friend and a girlfriend of his pray for me and my precious grandmother praying for me. And I came to a place where I humbled myself, knelt by my bed and said, God, if you're there, show me and my soul. He did. From then on, I understood a bit of what salvation actually was, even though I'd known about it. Right? Now, the title of this message is More Than Enough. Right? More than enough. We serve a God of more than enough. Let's read the Bible. Sorry, I don't want to talk too much. Let's go to Matthew 14, 15 to 21. Now, we all know these things so well, but we don't know them very often. And our job this evening is to try and, with the help of the Holy Spirit, come to a revelation knowledge, all right? And it's something that will change our lives. Okay, Matthew 14, 15 to 21. This is the story of the loaves and the fishes. All right, take it from verse 15. When it was evening, his disciples came to him saying, "This is a deserted place and the hour is already late. Send the multitudes away that they may go into the villages and buy themselves food." But the Lord Yeshua said to them, "They do not need to go away. You give them something to eat." Now, they said to him, "We've only 5 loaves and 2 fish. He said, "Bring them here to me." Then he commanded the multitudes to sit down on the grass. And he took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, and looking up to heaven, he blessed and broke and gave the loaves to the disciples. And the disciples gave to the multitudes. So they all ate and were filled. And they took up 12 baskets full of the fragments that remained. Now those who had eaten were about 5,000 men, besides women and children. 5,000 men, there's probably about 15,000 to 20,000 people there. Amen? The Lord fed, supernaturally, 15,000 people. It's hard to grasp the number of people, because I have a small idea. Once when I was teaching at the school, we had a function on the field there. Sutherland at that stage was 2,000 plus minus kids. And we were waiting for them to come. I was responsible to try and blow up these balloons. We're going to let all these balloons go. You know, that was the idea, you know, just to advertise something. And we are pumping these balloons, you know, how many 2,000 balloons is. But they started to come. They just started to come. I thought, shish, is this 2,000? And it's a lot of people. But multiply that. I don't know how many 2 goes into 15, 7 plus whatever, but you know, that's massive amount of people, alright? And you've got to feed them with nothing. Well, not nothing. With a few loaves. Now, why do you think the Lord put the onus on the disciples first? And then, you know, put them on the spot. Does anybody want to hazard a guess. Why did he put the disciples on the spot? He didn't say, okay, I'll sort this out, boys. No, he said, you feed them. Why?
Well, just emphasizing the fact that they couldn't do it on their own. They don't have the ability to do it.
In their own strength, yeah. He wanted them to be aware of the fact that there was nothing. The situation was essentially, from a rational point of view, totally impossible. Has everybody grasped that? You see? And in doing that, he was trying to teach us a lesson. Now, why do you think that there were whole 12 baskets of fragments left over? Why do you think? We have to ask these questions when we read the Bible. Okay, that's true, but Bron, what do you think? Why did God, you know, don't you think God would have sort of made sure there's just enough for everyone? When the last baby got a little crumb, now that's it, stop. But no, 12 baskets. Why do you think? Any ideas? Any ideas? Why? What happened to those baskets of leftovers, do you think? Yes, Sharon.
To show people that you can supply more than what they even need.
I believe that. I believe, you see, he was trying to teach them a lesson in that situation that they were serving the God of more than enough.
First of all, the cup runs over.
But please, you see, we've got to grasp something. This is so important. And it seems so simple. And we sort of say, oh, we know that. But do we really? And let me, I'm going to try and explain. God helping me, Holy Spirit helping me. How important it is to grasp this understanding, not just in the head, but here. All right? God is the God of more than enough. I just think what happened is they took these baskets on their way. They gave it to people in the village and said, you should have been there. You should have been there. It would have spread the news. You should have been there. God's more than enough. Amen. Now, like I said at the start, these things we know, all right? But do we really know them? Let's just read another two scriptures quickly. I'd like us to go to 2 Corinthians 9, verse 8. 2 Corinthians, once again, scriptures we all know. 2 Corinthians 9, I'm just going to read verse 8. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you... Now listen to this. Let's allow the Holy Spirit to make this real in our hearts. That God is able to make all grace abound towards you. That's us. That you. Us. Always. How often is always?
All the time.
Okay. The God of Israel doesn't sleep. Always having all sufficiency in all things. God loves all, doesn't he? All. No exception. Without exception, may have an abundance. So it's not just all, it's an abundance for every good work. Do you see that? God is able. He's able. Now you see, when it says he is able, does that mean we automatically have the abundance? You get it? He's able to do it. That's what he's trying to get through to us. He's able. He's more than able. I mean, all sufficiency in all things may have an abundance. So in every situation, not just enough. He's not the God of just enough. He's the God of more than enough. Can somebody just say amen?
Amen.
I think we need to import some folk into the church that come from a different race group. The more lively types. Hallelujah. The ones that like to jive, shake, rock and roll. Hallelujah. Praise God. Let's go to Ephesians. I mean, it's all over the Bible. Let's go to the favorite. Ephesians 3 verse 20. Ephesians 3 verse 20. Now to him who is able. Okay, once again, it's conditional. Please note something. He is the God of more than enough, but it is conditional. And we need to learn what the condition is so that we can release the God of more than enough to do what he wants to do. Can you all say amen?
Amen.
Oh, glory. Can we try that again?
Amen.
Can somebody say amen?
Amen.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Okay. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly. My soul. It's always superlatives with God. Do you see that? all exceedingly abundantly above, right? Above. Not just at the level that you can sort of think of. All. Once again, all. Can I just say that again? All. Can we all say all? All. All. Get it into our heads. All. That we ask. And it's not just what you ask, what you even think. Okay? Now here's the condition. According to the power that works in us, to Him be glory in the church, by Christ Yeshua, to all generations, forever and ever. Amen? He's able to do. Some translations put it this way. He's able to exceedingly abundantly beyond all that we could ask, think, or even imagine. Can you believe that? Even imagine. What that means is your greatest dreams, God wants them, is capable of making them all come true. Beyond your wildest imagination. Our wildest imagination. I think that's a God worth serving, don't you think? He's not stingy, folks. Hallelujah. I think we must turn Presbyterian. Should I bring out a few hymnals? I'm asking for a bit of enthusiasm. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. Amen. God is good all the time. Okay, now, please. That's all very good and well, okay? And the big question is, if God is the God of more than enough, why is it that we, His children, to a large extent, are not experiencing more than enough? Is there anything that you would really like, but you're not having it right now? Willem, can you say something? Yes or no? Yes. I think if I had to ask everybody very seriously, you'd all say. I would say. There's a lot of stuff out there that we actually need to extend the kingdom. Does everybody understand? Now why? If God is the God of more than enough, why? You see? And the point I'm trying to make is it's quite possible for you and I to tap into the more than enough. Amen? But we have to understand how it works. Please, we've got to. And you see, as I begin to explain how it works, we'll begin to understand why so few have managed to tap into this. God is crying out for a people that are living in a land of more than enough. Why, Graham? So that we can all sit in a nice, cozy home, drive a nice, brand new, fancy car, eat all the lovely food that we could ever desire, wear designer clothes. Is that why we want the God of more than enough? Well, that's all very nice and well. But let me tell you why we need the God of more than enough. Because as I said, we are taking a bit of food out to these poor folk. And to be honest, the amount of food, bless God for it. But by God's sort of standards, it's pitiful. Amen? It's pitiful. All right? Not blaming anybody, but I'm addressing the facts. If we serve the God of more than enough. Can you all say amen? I mean, or say, oh me, or oh my, or something. Okay? We've had the glory stuff, now we get down to the nitty gritty. See, the stuff that people don't want to hear. We'd rather say, oh, God's a God of more than enough. More than enough, we sing a song about it, song and dance. But now let's get to the real issue. Because you see, in my heart, this has got to happen. Amen? We can't talk about it, it's got to happen. I'd like to see every single member of our congregation living in the more than enough zone. And there are people that are right now living in that, let me tell you. And we need to emulate them. All right. So what is the issue? Well, you see, the issue is this. Like I said, it's all very well knowing that He's the God of more than enough. Here, everybody, I think, in the whole Christian church, if you had to ask them, do you think God's got lots of stuff? They would say, oh yes, oh yes. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. Have you heard that one? Okay? But now here's the problem. That understanding of more than enough does not reside in our spirit where we know it so well it becomes a way of life. Amen? Please just grasp this. You see, that miracle that the Lord did with those disciples, He did it on two occasions. Two occasions. Within possibly 2 weeks of each other, or even maybe a month at the most. You read the two accounts, the one time He fed this multitude, So the disciples actually handed out the food and saw it multiply, right? They saw it with their own eyes. I think there were 7,000 on that occasion. But they saw it with their own eyes, and then 2 weeks later they're in the same predicament, exactly the same predicament, and that's why he said to them, you do it. Amen? You do it. What's the issue? You see, they had seen that God was the God of more than enough. Alright? They saw it. But did they really understand it? Can you see that? Now, let me explain this. It says, according to the power that works in us. God is able to do exceedingly abundantly according to the power that works in us. Amen? Just hang with me. It's so important to grasp this. What is the power that works in us? Faith. Alright? Faith. Now, let me try and explain faith in a simple way. Alright? Faith is very closely, it's not the same thing, please don't get me wrong, it's very closely associated with experience. Alright? Experience. Let me explain it this way. If you have never driven a car before, you just passed there, Jessica, alright? When you first got into the car, I need to ask this actually, who taught you to drive? The tall one. Okay, well, sorry, I don't want to cause a massive of a warrior, but let me ask you, Jessica, the first time you got behind the wheel, did you say, oh, let's go? Off you went. Okay, well, all right. Okay, you understand. Why? You didn't have faith in your ability to drive because you didn't have any experience. Can you see that? It wasn't natural. You had to think of, I hope you had to think about stuff. Did you think about stuff, Norman?
No, very,
she was a star pupil.
Okay, all right. When my mother tried to teach me to drive, you had a nervous breakdown. What I'm trying to get at is, you see, when you do something a lot, you become comfortable with it. Amen? You know that your car is going to get you to Johannesburg. If you have been unfortunate enough to drive a vehicle that sort of is a bit shady, it's been, you know, one part comes from that vehicle and it's basically a shambles. And you drive it and very often you get stuck on the road. You understand what I'm saying? It's an unreliable vehicle. When somebody says to you, won't you come and see us in Krugersdorp? You think twice, okay? Why? You don't have any faith in the vehicle. Amen? But if you've got a reliable vehicle and you can just drive and you know, you are assured that you're going to get there. You have faith in that vehicle. I hope you're picking up what I'm trying to say here. You see, with experience, with practice comes experience, and that experience, in a sense, puts inside of us faith. We know that we know that we know. Amen. Now you see, it works the same with this whole business of understanding that God is the God of more than enough. Let me tell you, that scripture can sit very happily here. But to get it into your and my spirit where we know that we know that we know, that's a challenge. That's a challenge. And as I explain this challenge, you'll realize why so many Christians have backed off. Now you see, you and I, if we are going to tap into the enough of the God that is more than enough, we have to know that we know that we know that not only does he have, but he is able to get it to us. Can you all say amen? It's all very well having a very rich, fat uncle, alright? You know that he's got loads of cash in the bank, but your big problem is what? Hello, uncle. Can you spare us a dime? No? The other option is you just hope that you're in his will and when he pegs, you see some of it. What I'm trying to get at, you might know somebody very wealthy, but that doesn't mean that you have access to that wealth. You see, there's money out there, alright? We have to get it here. Does everybody get the pattern? Now you see, this is how it works. You and I are responsible, alright, to set the ball rolling. Can I say that? Remember with the miracle of the fish, the Lord didn't just say, Poopy-doo, I'll make it happen. Boom. The question was, what have you got? Does everybody get that? All right? Now listen carefully. Our dad is not just rich. He's super abundantly above rich. Mm-hmm. Amen? All right. But he has instituted a certain process for you and I to access that because he wants us to have it. Amen? Like I said, he wants us to have it for what reason? So that we can be the light of the world. Amen? You won't get very far, let me tell you, influencing people. If you say, I want to teach you the gospel, but by the way, can you give me some petrol to get home? Do you understand? Better still, you say, would you like to know the gospel? I see you don't have any food. There it is. We get it. Now you see, God has instituted a certain principle for us to tap into His more than enough. Amen? If we don't do it His way, guess what? Not going to happen. All right. Let's go back to the Blessed Bible. Amen? I'd like us to just go to Luke 6:38. Here's the key. Luke 6:38. Once again, a scripture all of us as I start to read will say, oh, I know that one. I know that one. All right. But do we really? Do we really? Okay. I'll read from verse 37. Ties up. Judge not and you shall not be judged. Condemn not and you shall not be condemned. Forgive and you will be forgiven. Now listen to this. Give and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over will be put into your bosom. For with the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you. Right, you see that? The law of sowing and reaping. Amen. Before God could do that miracle, the Lord could do that miracle, the little boy, the hapless little fellow that was the only one whose mother thought that he might get hungry and packed him lunch, had to share his lunchbox with 5,000 people. I don't know about you, but if I was the only one with food, thanks to my mother, and I'm sitting there and everybody else is going hungry, what do you think Graham would have done? Graham would have found the nearest bush hidden behind it and made sure that if they asked him for any loaves and fishes, I ain't got. All right? The miracle is the little boy, I don't know if he had a choice, probably had one of these big fishermen stand there, son, give us your food. Really? But that little boy fed probably 15,000 people. Isn't that awesome? Because he was prepared to say, okay, have it. Take it. I mean, what am I saying? The key to all of this, you see, is to learn how to invest with the bank of God. Okay? Because the bank of God doesn't give you, what's a miserable interest rate they give you if you put your money there for 30 days? 1.5%. It's ridiculous, isn't it? I mean, with God, guess what the interest rates are? Is it 50%, 60%, 100-fold? 100-fold. Is there a bank on earth that can give you 100-fold return? Huh? Don't happen. But let me tell you, with God it does happen. And I'm going to tell you how. You see, now God says to you and I, okay, right, I'm the God of more than enough. Hallelujah. All right? But before more than enough can rain on you, you have to take what you have and you have to give it away. Hallelujah. You see, human nature. Now, why is it that, hallelujah, God of more than enough, when it comes time for you and I to take a few pence, right, and to say, put it in offering, it's like a pain. Can I tell you why? Because the understanding that He's the God of more than enough sits in this potato between the ears and hasn't yet dropped to the heart. Do you see that? What is the heart? Yes. Now you see, as human beings, let me tell you the way we have been trained. We have been sort of programmed. And you see, we've got to just understand that the way we've been programmed is not the way God thinks. You see, the way we have been programmed is, if I give away this, then I will have less. Can you see that? It's simple math, isn't it? If you subtract from A and you have B, will B be bigger or smaller or what than A? The human mind, if you subtract, you are left with less. Now you and I are sitting in a position, alright, and we are battling with the facts which are we don't have enough. In our human thinking, I've only got enough for just enough for me. You get it? If, humanly speaking, I give away something which is just for me, then I will have not enough for me and my family. That's the way we think. What governs that? Fear. Yeah. Amen? Fear. You see? Now, the challenge is to move from the place where you and I are controlled by quite understandable fear to the place where we're motivated by faith. And we understand something. We understand something. With God, as we start to give away, God is able to bless. Right, and can I tell you, He doesn't just add, God does not know addition. Do you know that? He doesn't know addition, He only knows multiplication. Multiplication. Alright? What happened to those little loaves and fishes? What happened to them? Did they get added to? No. They got multiplied. And you see, you and I have got to grasp this in our spirit, man. God is the God of multiplication because He is the God of more than enough. And you know what? He multiplies to us according to our faith. You see? According to our faith. To the degree that you and I allow our faith to grow, to that extent God can multiply and bless. Amen? Now let me just tell you. This is the practicalities of it. To start with, it's not easy. Alright? Let's look at another scripture. Let's go to James 5 verse 7. Are you all with me? This is really important. Because let me tell you something now with what's happening in the world. This country and the world is looking at famine on a big scale. Do you know that? A big scale. Famine. James 5 verse 7. Listen to this. Alright? Therefore, listen to this. James 5 verse 7. Therefore, be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth. Do you see that? See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, waiting patiently for it until it receives the early and latter rain. You also be patient. Okay, talking about the end of the age. But you see, the farmer. Now listen, the farmer is, his whole livelihood is dependent on effectively sowing and reaping. Is that right? Sowing and reaping. What does a wise farmer do? He makes sure that he sows. All right? He makes sure that he sows. If he does not sow, what can he expect? No harvest. You get it? It's common sense, isn't it? Now let me ask you a question. And this is the tricky part, you see. Does a farmer sit on his stoop with coffee and biscuit, waiting for the crops to grow? And when suddenly he gets up and goes to the biscuit tin and there's no more rusk, you think, oh, I'm out of rusk. I better go and plant something. You see? Does that make any sense at all? Why? Well, the simple fact is, brothers and sisters, and this needs to resonate in your in my heart, between the time of sowing and the time of reaping, there is a time span. Amen? It doesn't happen whereby you put it in and it grows overnight. That would be lovely. But it doesn't work that way. Does everybody get that? It's a pattern established in the earth. Sowing and reaping. Now listen, if you and I can understand something, that we can live in the superabundance of God, if, alright, we've developed our ability to sow and reap. Alright? And here's the picture, you see. To start off with, and this is the difficult part, we sow. And right then, obviously, nothing happens. Alright. What is the obvious temptation right there? In human understanding. I've sowed and there's no fruit, so I'm not going to sow anymore. When this produces, then I will carry on. Now what happens there? You see, the time lapse becomes longer and longer. And that's the reason so many Christians are living below, as it were, the prosperity line. And we did it for years. Amen? You see, the optimum way to operate is this. We learn how to sow and we keep on sowing. We keep on sowing. We keep on sowing. We keep on sowing, we keep on sowing, we just keep on sowing, and then one day suddenly what starts to happen? We start to reap. That we keep on sowing, and we start to reap. We're not reaping what we sowed today. We're reaping what we sowed some time back. Are you hearing me? But if we stop sowing, what happens? You know what? When you don't sow, what do? You eat the seed. Amen? The most dangerous thing you and I can do is eat the seed. Eat the seed. Now, I need to illustrate this, you see. We've had this experience. I'll be very honest with you. God has challenged us to live, as you all know, by faith. Alright? For this very reason. We want to demonstrate to the church it's possible, and not only possible, wildly successful. And God's led us to sow. Now, what I need to say is this. In this whole process of sowing, alright, what happens? When you and I sow, and we wait, now notice, expectantly. It's not just sitting back and doing nothing. There's an activity in our spirit. We expect a blessing. We expect a blessing. In that situation, even when there is no blessing to the natural mind, we still expect a blessing. Why? We have taken the trouble to sow. In that space of time, you know what happens? Your and my faith actually grows. Right? Let me just tell you how it works. You start giving at one level, and you stick it out. Your faith grows. You receive a harvest, and what happens then? You're able to give at a greater level, do you see? And then that whole process actually operates exponentially. Exponentially. God challenged us with this whole time, some time back. And 2 years ago, I think it was, yes, 2 years ago, we started to sow. We have this retreat, Acts 2:42, we have this retreat down in Van Rienen. And every year, what is the big issue? Most of the churches from the black culture, and everybody gets told, you must put money aside for the retreat, you know. Inevitably, every time we come to the retreat, not enough people, because they haven't saved up the money, okay. And inevitably, somebody has to pay. 2 years ago, Janet and I paid for, I think, 10 people plus, okay. We didn't really have the money. We didn't really, but we paid for them. And when we drive there, you know what happens? Oh, halfway there, Milton phones me and said, one of the guys can't pay, can you help out? I thought, but you know what? God was looking at me. You understand? God was looking at me. And I said, okay, we'll do it. Praise God. Put ourselves a bit further into sculpt. All right? But we did it. Why? God told us to. You understand? What are we doing? Sowing. What happened for the rest of the year? Nothing. Nothing. About June of this year. I'll never forget this as long as I live. Now please, that's not the only seed we sowed. Continually sowing. Sitting at the breakfast table now, we were struggling a bit. I said, God, you owe me some money. You owe me money. I was joking, but I wasn't joking. Okay. But God heard. God heard my soul. Maybe 3 days later, I get a phone call to tell me that I've just suddenly received over 300,000 rand. How's that? How's that? Please note something. The harvest is always bigger than the seed. Amen? The harvest is always bigger than the seed. And you see, what's happened now is we're getting into it. We're getting into it. God, you owe me money. But I'm not happy with 300 this time. We want millions. Amen. Hallelujah. But let me just explain this. It becomes a way of life. Amen. Now please. It's not just a case of throwing money around. Does everybody get that? You and I have to have exercise wisdom. You see? And it's not just throwing and sort of like supernaturally, almost like magically thinking it's going to happen. There is this process of exercising faith, which means expectancy. Amen. Expecting the God of more than enough to do more than enough. Amen. Let me tell you, it becomes a lifestyle. It starts with the tithe. Did you know that? It starts there. We are very, very strict about the tithe in this household. When money comes our way, we make sure. And we tithe, let me tell you, into the body of Christ. Internationally, nationally and locally. We made a decision. Certain ministries that operate internationally, we tithe to them. That's for us. You understand? Also our operation we're with, we tithe to them, and locally we tithe to the people here. Do you understand? And you know, there's a story where a man of God, somebody approached him and said, you know, we're really battling financially, blah blah blah. And he said, okay, let's talk. And he asked him, are you tithing? And he said, yes, we are. You know, he said, sit down. We're going to just trust God because of the covenant you have with him to come through for you. In other words, activate the covenant. That's what he's saying. In other words, the man had done it mechanically, but there comes a time to add faith to it, you see. And he said, right, let us sit down and activate the covenant. You have a covenant with God. If you and I are diligent to give him what is his, you know what? We're in partnership. I don't know about you, but I quite like being in partnership with Almighty God. Quite a partner to have, you know. And he's not a sleeping partner either, by the way. And he's got quite a bit of capital that he's quite capable of pushing into the system. And he does it ways I don't even know how. But anyway, he said to this man, let's activate the covenant. They activated the covenant, and the man said within weeks that whole thing just turned around. Amen? But you see, it goes beyond that. That goes beyond that. It becomes a lifestyle. And you see, what is the lifestyle? The lifestyle is looking for opportunities to bless and always expect a blessing. Do you get that? Does everybody hear this? And Jan and I, we wait for God to give us permission to give. Does that make sense? We don't just give. We wait for permission to give. And it's almost become now, we can give. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen? We rush to do it. And let me tell you a few things that have happened. I love to fill petrol tanks. Because there was a time in my life, I can't tell you people how many kilometers as a man of God I've traveled through southern Africa and driving like this. You know what I mean? Just looking at the gas level. And you know, freewheeling down the hills, and just being careful. I mean, the number of times I've had to stand on the side of the road because of no petrol. These people down in King Williamstown said, come and teach us praise and worship. And I'm in my little Golf. And I'm down to King Williamstown from Harare is quite a distance, alright? And although petrol didn't cost what it cost now, it took quite a bit. But I got there. We had a wonderful time of praise and worship. Afterwards, guess what? They gave me enough petrol to get to the next village. Money to buy. You know what I mean? Ridiculous. I've got a heart for this sort of thing. One occasion, I was at a church. We did a praise and worship seminar. I was completely out of cash. I had to ride all the way across the country to get home. I went to see the pastor to say goodbye. And fortunately, he sort of parted with $100, which was quite a lot of money in that day and age. The other great fortune is that the car was parked on a bit of a hill. And at the bottom of the hill was the petrol station. So I rolled into the station, put petrol in, and I got home. You understand? I've really got a heart for people in the ministry, especially to fill their tanks. Anyway, this one occasion, I'm standing there and I said, look, let's just put some petrol in your car, you see. And the person sitting there thinking, "How? What is he going to do? 200, 300, whatever. I say to the attendant, fill it up. All right? Oh, my soul. Now, listen, this is the process of growing in faith. Hallelujah. Standing by the car there, I'm watching the meter. And I start to think to myself, this car must have a very big tank. Or it's very empty. One of the two. But the meter just keeps going up. I started to realize something. Not only was it a very big tank, but it was also very, very empty. Hallelujah. And this thing's going up. And I said, Lord, what now? He said, you just stand there, and having done all, stand. Hallelujah. And the person was very happy to have a full tank of petrol. I was sort of like thankful to God that I had petrol at home, and you know what. But do you know something? Do you know something? Before night had fallen that day, 15,000 rand jumped into our account from a totally unexpected source. Amen? Listen, people, we serve the God of more than enough. Amen? More than enough. But there is that stretching place which is uncomfortable. You see? On many occasions, let me tell you, we've fed people and gone hungry ourselves. Now you say, well, that's stupid, Graham. No, it's not stupid. You see, those people didn't have any faith at all. We're trying to help them where they were, but we had faith that God would see us through. What are we doing? Putting ourselves on the edge. Why? That our faith can stretch, you see. And in that process of our faith stretching, what's happening? You see, when God comes through, and don't think your faith will grow because he comes through once. Please. When God comes through, you understand? Your faith level, you get experience in God coming through. The God of more than enough becomes the God of more than enough. Can you all say amen? Amen. Praise God. And you just can't wait for an opportunity to give. We're sitting there at the table. Pastor Butti phones us. I'm in the area. Can I come and say hello? Sure, come and have a cup of tea. The moment he spoke, you know what I thought in my heart? I said, God, is this another opportunity to bless on a tray? He just gave me the nod. And I said, how much? Okay. Well, anyway, I got the number, got the figure, spoke to Janet. So we're sitting. It's quite funny, actually. And we're talking about this whole outreach to the people that don't have food. I thought the church helped them with the food. You know that? Only discovered that Buti and his team, they all put money together to feed them. Isn't that awesome? And I just saying to him, you know, I'm really impressed by your sacrifice. And you know what he said? He said, you know what? We're not worried about the riches of this world. You see? I'm sitting there. And I said to him, I'm very sad to hear that. I reach over into the drawer, take out 2,000 rand, I put it on the table. And I was hoping to give you these riches of the world, but, you know, obviously you don't want them. I said, no, it's fine, fine, fine. I get the feeling that the reason he phoned in the beginning was because he needed a few of the riches of the world. Praise be to God. That man's a saint. Let me tell you, this community has treated him disgustingly. All the work he's done over the years, just of his own bat to try and help the people here. Most of them are the maids and servants in the community. He deserves a great crowning in heaven. I tell you what, he's going to be put over all of us. And I'll be grateful. But you understand, this is the life God wants you and I to live. You see? The God of more than enough to tap into. We have to tap into this God of more than enough. I know men that are in the ministry and they are in business as well. They're very fine businessmen. God shows them exactly what to do, when to do, and every single deal just comes through miraculously. It's wonderful to hear these wonderful testimonies, but you realize they started where? You understand? Not knowing how to go through the week or the month or whatever. But you know something? They start to come to a place where they go into a meeting, and there's a meeting to raise certain money for a building, and God says to the man, you can cover the entire amount. Amen? Just like that. But the statement he made, even though he's got all these worldly investments, on one occasion the bank came to see him, because he's a very wealthy man. They said, we want to tell you how to invest your money. They said, we want you to invest A, B, C. Okay? He said, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to pray first. God said to him, party, you invest D, E. D, E, F. You understand? So when he had a meeting with them, he said, yeah, I'm not going A, B, C. You do D, E, F. They got so angry with him. These are experts in the financial world. Great experts. Do you know, at the end of the year, the manager said to him, you know, they met him in the supermarket, said, you're the only person that made money this year. The only one. And the statement he made, he said, even though he makes all these wonderful investments, his greatest investments are where? The kingdom of heaven. Why? Because the returns are so much better. Amen? I think there's another scripture here. Let me just read it. We sang that song specifically. Lord, you are more precious than silver. Let's go to Proverbs 8, 10 and 11. That's where that scripture comes from. I want us to grasp something here, right? Very often, when we read the Bible, we see all these wonderful scriptures and we regard them sort of like aesthetically, okay? Oh, wonderful poetry. Proverbs 8, 10 and 11. Receive my instruction and not silver, and knowledge rather than choice gold. For wisdom is better than rubies, and all things one may desire cannot compare with her. So now you see, we read that, you know, wisdom is much better than rubies. In a sense, rubies and the world wealth, you know, that's not really worth, you need wisdom. No! Do you know what he's saying? If you get wisdom, alright, you can have all the rubies you want. You get it? If we have this knowledge, this understanding, it can translate into more wealth than the world has. Real wealth. Amen? Lord, you are more precious than silver. More costly than gold. More costly than gold. Worth much more than gold. The gold in heaven is transparent. It's so pure. Not this mush we get down here. And the streets are paved with it. Think about that. The dogs up there do their business on gold. How would you like to have a gilt-edged toilet seat? I hope you're picking something up here. All right, folks. God wants us to translate the world's wealth into the kingdom of heaven. Did you know that? The transfer of God's wealth, which belongs to him, has been stolen from him back to him. But we have to do it his way. All right? His way is a difficult way. Just another scripture. I don't want to paint such a rosy picture because, you know, this is how it feels. We've been here. We've tasted this. But it's a way through. It's a way through the wilderness. But there is a wilderness. At times, this describes it. It's Psalm 102 verse 6. I can't describe the feeling. We're hanging between heaven and earth. You've sowed. Nothing's happened. Everything is sort of like mounting against you. It's amazing. In times like this, that's when the geezer goes. That's when the car breaks down. That's when the washing machine starts to make funny noises. You understand? That's when the school phones you and say you owe a lot of fees for your child. We're thinking of handing you over. That's not a nice thing to happen, no. We were handed over before the actual summons got you, the money got to them. God knows how we got it there, but we got it there. Thank you, Lord. But you see, this is, Psalm 102 verse 6. All I'm trying to say is if, you and I want to tap into this, this is what's on the menu. Alright? You have to take the rough with the smooth. The farmer has to wait. And that's a difficult thing for us humans. Why? Because we want to go and do. Alright? Would the farmer help his cause if he plants the seed and then he goes and digs up the seed to see where it's going? He's got to sit back and let it happen, okay, and trust God that it will happen. But just, this scripture has always spoken to me about that condition, all right? Psalm 102 verse 6, I am like a pelican of the wilderness, I'm like an owl of the desert, I lie awake, I'm like a sparrow alone on the housetop. Do you know how lonely it is when you're waiting for God? Do you know how lonely it is? The whole world system is laughing at you. The devil especially is cackling away. I've got you now. It's a terrible feeling. It's a terrible feeling. Can give you some sob stories, but I won't bother you with that. But what am I saying? This business of tapping into the God of more than enough is not an easy passage from a human's point of view. It's very difficult to trust in a God you cannot see. Amen? All you've got is His Word. You're sitting there and you are struggling. You have to go across to the neighbor and say, would you mind borrowing us a few rand so we can get some bread? You're right. I'm getting contaminated by the Afrikaans folk. We borrow, they lend. On occasions people have said no. You know how humiliating that is. There's one very wealthy man, we're just friends, and I just thought, asked if you could just lend us 100 rand. Very reluctantly. He just said, okay. Just this once. The next day, I took the money back to him and said, did you starve? We always paid the money back. But what am I saying? It's very uncomfortable. Amen? Humiliating. We put on a spread here for people because we thought this is the one opportunity we have of reaching this family. So we spared no expense. No expense. To the extent that we were almost bankrupt, theoretically, after we fed them. Wonderful meal. It was sickening. The lady ate a little portion of this. I thought, why me, Lord? But we did it. Amen? We did it. And you see, we had this wonderful meal, and the next day we're eating pup and gravy. Was there gravy? No. On one occasion there wasn't. But anyway, no sympathy, please. We are going through what? The pelican in the wilderness experience. God sees. Amen? As you and I sow, so shall we reap. All right, let's end with this. Psalm 126, verse 5 to 6. This actually describes the whole procedure. All right, the whole process for you and I to tap into the God who is more than enough. To make that phrase, God more than enough, much more than just academic intellectual knowledge. All right, this is the process for that message, that understanding to drop from the brain, from that potato between the ears, into the heart and soul. Those who sow, notice, in tears. Those who sow in tears. Can everybody just say that? Sow in tears will reap in joy. You get it? Shall reap in joy. Though he, notice this, who continually goes forth weeping. Do you see that? Don't think if you have one breakthrough that you've got the faith yet. We've had that. I thought, we know it all now. Only to be hit with another one. And another one, and another one. Times of being totally dependent on the living God. And every time, sometimes it didn't look like he came through, but then eventually came through. In between a lot of tears. He continually goes forth weeping, bearing seed for sowing. Do you see that? Taking what we have and sowing as God directs. Sowing. What eventually begins to happen? Shall doubtless come again with what? Rejoicing. bringing his sheaves with him. Isn't that beautiful? Bundles of harvest, you see, it speaks of the harvest. All those seeds beginning to do what? Bring forth a harvest. Amen? A harvest. Those who are prepared have the guts, have the courage to sow when it's difficult, all right? And to keep on sowing, even when it looks impossible. I've had times, let me tell you, I lay on the couch, not that couch, and the things look so difficult. You might be shocked, but I put a sort of swear word on my back, a piece of paper, wrote it out. And I said, God, if you're really interested, read the sign. Sharon, you look shocked. You know what? I was so unhappy with the whole situation. I was cross with God. You understand? It was not easy. Difficult. Right? And God looked at this and he thought, shame. He's just a young one. He's growing up. But I was real. I was being real. You understand? This is real blood and guts. But what happens? Eventually, and this is the beautiful part. I can't tell you the joy when all of a sudden, my soul. One last story. I mean, we were at the very end of the road for the millionth time. And we're sitting here and you're thinking, oh, my soul, what now? Knock on the door. Our next door neighbor, the sister came, please come and help. You know, this guy's gone mull. Which happened quite often. But anyway, and I just thought to myself, you know, really, why me now? You know, Lord, why me now? I mean, can't somebody else there that you are paying can do this? That you are paying. You understand the attitude? Anyway, took our little spirit across there and tried to sort it out the best we could. Came back into the house. Guess what? Ding, ding on the phone. Another 10, I think, grand or whatever. We just took us right. What a joy. What an absolute joy. You know, just why is it the joy? Why is it a joy? Not so much the money, please. It's not so much the money. It's the knowledge that God of more enough knows. Amen? Knows. And He has redeemed us. I tell you, when that happens over and over and over and over again, you know what happens? We come to the place where every day, what are we looking for? Please, this is the key. Every day we're looking for two things in this realm. Two things. Number one, an opportunity to bless. You understand? When God gives us the go-ahead to bless. And at the same time, waiting for the blessing. Let me tell you, if you are expectant for the blessing, we'll draw it to us. You get it? That expectancy draws from God. It draws from God. We have to have that expectancy based on the word. And things happen that bless your soul. Bless your soul. On one occasion, God gave us instructions to, I'll give you the figures, 10,000 rand. Give it away. There was a situation that we came across. The man, you know, in one of the pastors' meeting, not even the church, a person, he said, we're really struggling because of COVID. All his business had been wiped out. I mean, really. He used to own 4 coffee shops, down to 1. And he mentioned that they were about to lose their house. I was at this meeting, and I just came back home, and, you know, I just thought to myself, I can't just sit and listen to a man say that. We've been in the position where we're about to lose our house. In fact, we did lose our house. You know what it feels like when you and your little family are destined to be on the streets tomorrow? Do you know what that feels like? Do you know what that feels like? Nobody can know what it feels like until you've actually been there. We've been there 2 or 3 times. But I'm sitting here thinking, you know, this man is in this situation. I can't do nothing. Spoke to Janet. She had a complete witness. Hey, my darling. We witnessed both together. And I was in town and God said, you do it now. You do it now. So I came back home, did the transaction. He was very grateful. About a month later, we spoke to his wife. Do you know what? We're sitting there. She broke down into tears. She said to us, can't tell you what that really meant to us. You know? Once again, it saved their home, A, and B, more important, she said, it just made us realize that God has got our number. God has got our number. He knows about us. He cares about us. He's heard our prayer. Let me tell you, when you hear a story like that, and I don't normally share these stories, but I just want to encourage us all. There's a world out there. There's a way of living way above this world system. Amen? And we have got to tap into it. It's no longer an optional extra. We've got to tap into it. Why? The world is headed for disaster. I mean, this country's economy is on a knife edge as I speak. In fact, I think it's beyond the knife edge. Take a miracle of God to pull this country out. What's happening overseas? Tell you what, in the natural, things look bleak. But you see, we don't have to worry. Why? My bank account will never run dry. Amen? will never run dry. Why? We're always putting money in. Whenever we can. Whenever God says, go ahead, we withdraw. God loves a cheerful giver. I'm beginning to understand that now. You know why? Why am I cheerful? I'm so happy. So happy to, you know, one occasion there we said to this lady, get some groceries. And said, she got a few little bits. I said, no, get this. She, a few toilet paper. I said, get this whole. You know, and we're at the till. Once again, I'm looking at this till. Graham, you and your big mouth, you know, shish, you know, why so many toilet rolls? And I'm, I don't know. Over 3,000 rand. 3,000 rand. You know, the God of much more than enough. Are you hearing me? The God of much more than enough. Have we starved? No. Bees are full. Pantry full. We're believing for a house with a bigger pantry, amongst other things. Hallelujah. So we can have more people. Have you been blessed? Amen. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for your truth. May we be people that come to that place. We know that we serve the God of much, much more than enough. I pray, Lord, that we'll tap into your greatness and your abundance through your method. Give us the courage, Lord. Give us the grace. Give us the wisdom to do what you expect of us, Lord. So that we are not just people that go with the wind, go with the flow, live under the circumstances. We are way above. We live way above, Lord, for the simple reason that we can be a lighthouse, a pillar of strength to those around us, empowered to help all that come our way. You promised us a place where we have more than enough for every good work, every single good work. Oh Lord, I pray for a nation of people that live like that, where lack is unheard of, unknown, not even considered. Why? Because we have this revelation that we serve the God of much, much more than all that we can ask, think, or even imagine. The God of more than enough. Amen. Praise God.